this little minimalistic salary. Someone like me coming from a small town with big dreams into this super big city, you know, a lot of things is going on in your mind. You know, you're all about mixed emotions. You are exploited at times. You have great mentors at times. So we don't know where we are going to land. So one thing I was very clear, what I didn't want. I wasn't sure what I wanted, but I was very sure what I didn't want. And I didn't spend too much of time. I didn't waste too much of time there. And that's precisely one of the reasons what helped me into my profession. So getting into anchoring was more about passion. So we come from a society where anchoring, acting is not called as a profession. We come from a family where these are not a very respectable profiles. So I was no different. My parents were sure about me, but of course, we come from a family and society norms, and that was really, really huge on me. So initially, when I was starting off, I realized that there were a lot of emotional and lonely moments which I had to go through, and my parents had to go through because I was into this profession. But again, you know, when you're doing something from your heart, and my dad always told me this, that if you love and if you are passionate about what you do, you don't have to work for the rest of the life. And I'm not the kind of a guy who would sit at the desk and work 9 to 5. Maybe I will do that, but end of the day, I want to do something for my passion, something what I'm good at. There has to be a certain creative satisfaction, mainly towards my personality, towards myself. So I was focused on that. And that gave me an opportunity to start my career as an anchor, wherein I was allowed to work on weekends in one of the parks and to host shows and to anchor shows. That's how my journey in anchoring started. But mind you, you know, television presentation is way different to the presentation what you probably might do in a corporate event or what you probably might do in a pool party. It's totally different. But then you got to speak, and that stage daring, or that, you know, the initial scares were taken away by these small events. And at the same time, it was a good money, you know, money on weekends and weekdays. It was a job. So everything was taken care of. But what really mattered was after a couple of months, things started to get a little tricky. My channel was shutting down, and I was given a choice of either switching to a different department altogether, or else, you know, quitting and giving my place to someone else. And that's when I realized that it's high time. I need to audition with others also. So initially, when I was there, we are talking about 10, 15 years back, you know, auditions used to happen. People used to come on board or get selected. Talent used to get selected through auditions. Now, it's more about social media numbers, how many followers you have. And so everything has taken a toll back. For me, if you ask me 5 most important things which are required for a television presenter in today's world, number one is the social media numbers, which is very sad, but that's the truth of life. You know, the more the merrier. Okay, so the number of followers, the easier it is for you to get hired, because then the employer also thinks that, you know, I'm going to divert my traffic and the traffic is going to come on my portal. Number two, of course, you got to have a presence of mind. You know, not many people know this, but when you talk in public, with public, there are no scripts involved and everything has to be impromptu and on the spot. So you got to have a good presence of mind. Talking about presence of mind, there's also a certain confidence you need to show on the screen, and that goes to screen presence. How you look on the screen, how comfortable you are with the camera. If you're shy, if you're nervous, that is clearly visible on the camera. Then comes, of course, scripting. I would strongly urge not to follow scripts. Instead, make pointers and elaborate those pointers. And of course, you need to have a little technical knowledge, because a lot of cameras are involved when you're doing a television presentation. Unlike vlogging, you have a camera which you're holding and it's easier. It's your one-on-one talk. But then television presentation is a different ballgame together. But again, the school remains the same. The colleges are different, but the school remains the same. Nevertheless, coming back to where we started. So yes, the big break happened one fine day. It was 2009, and I went and I did an audition with one of the companies, and it was a very emotional moment for me, and I'll tell you why. Because my dad was suffering from a terrible disease. He was on deathbed, and one of his wish was to see me on screen. He was the one who always fought for me, for my dreams, and I thought perhaps, maybe, just maybe, He sees his young days in me, and because he couldn't achieve it, he wants his son to achieve it on his behalf. So he was a great supporter, and I wanted to perform before he goes. So I had this crazy sense of urgency in life, and I was auditioning, and there were 700, 800 people along with me who were auditioning. But I believe it all boils down to your why you're doing, why people should watch you. Why are you going for that audition? Why are you starting a business? If you're clear with your why, I think everything else falls in place. My why was very clear. I wanted the biggest audience. That was my father. I wanted him to see my show before he goes away. And of course, I enjoyed being on camera. That felt so much like me. And I thought that's my space. And I would be more happy if I can find something to do in front of the camera. So yes, 700 auditions. Imagine 700 auditions, a boy coming from a small Marathwada region of Maharashtra all the way to the humongous city called Mumbai, where you have people from Pan India, everybody struggling for one position. And there you have, who would listen to me? You know, if I go back and if I look at myself, it's very difficult to even accept the fact that, you know, I could crack that deal, because what I am itself is a great achievement. So yes, I was selected. I was I was the only presenter which was selected out of 900 audition. And I think when you put in your skills, when you put in your ethics, when you put in your hard work, then definitely luck support. I don't believe in people who says that luck doesn't make any difference. It's all your hard work. Not really. Now, getting selected out of 900 people, definitely luck plays a very vital role. But again, everything needs to be in align. The energy needs to be in align with your hard work, with your skills. And as they say these days, you know, the ikigai needs to be in place. Ikigai, wherein it is sellable. Whatever you put out in the market needs to be sellable. You need to be passionate about it. People need to be willing to pay for it. And of course, you got to add a certain value to it. So I think everything fell in place. The first initial days or years or months were difficult, because, you know, when you learn something and then you have to unlearn something and then you have to learn something again, it's a difficult process. But with great mentors and with great companies, you know, it's always feasible. So I would strongly urge all the people coming out of college, do not fall for great jobs. Do not go for great jobs. Go for great mentors, because they will be shaping your career. They will be shaping how you're going to be in the next 10, 20, 30 years. Okay. So anyways, coming back to the point. So that was my start of my travel journey. And since then, I had visited 40 countries. It's